In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, you bet.
Let's all
time to
go
talk
to
movies.
The
Pass the Popcorn. Alan Adams of The Main Edge right here in studio with us. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Happy Monday to you.
And to you as well. And and a glorious Indigenous Peoples Day to you.
Thank you very much. I was looking at a map of the country. There aren't many states that are celebrating it the right way.
Well, I mean, are we really that surprised?
No. No, not a bit. No. No, not at all. But yeah, go Maine. That's
but, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's as goes Maine, so goes the nation. Just sometimes takes a little longer.
Right. Wait for them to catch up, as they often have to do on so many things. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Pretty good. Went down to Cherryfield and saw my my in-laws. My brother-in-law and his family were up as well.
Nice.
So I got to see him and his wife and their three little girls and just sort of, you know, do some family reconnection. You know, it's so much harder these days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and everybody's responsible and safe and all that stuff. But still, you just, everyone's just a little bit more cautious about everything. So it was, but it was nice to sort of have the family kind of together and to, you know, the kids, they're growing up so fast. It's just, you want to just make sure that you're engaged in their lives in some way.
Right. Uncle Al.
Yeah. I'm an excellent uncle, by the way. I'm sure that comes as no surprise.
I don't doubt that a bit. I had uncles like you, and I loved them.
Oh, man. It's just I've gotten better about not swearing around them, but every once in a while, something will slip out, and I'm like, oh, well, you know what? That's Uncle Al.
Uncle Al right there. Well, you saw some movies since last time we spoke, and very, very excited to hear what you think of the last Bond film with Daniel Craig, and what you think of Craig overall as Bond.
Yeah. You know what? Let's burn through these other two movies real quick, get them out of the way. We can really lean into some James Bond stuff, because there's a lot, and it'll be a lot of fun to talk about.
Right.
The other two movies I saw this weekend, there's a Netflix horror film called There's Someone Inside Your House.
Oh, ooh.
It's pretty on the nose as far as titles go. Kind of a throwback to the sort of late 70s, early 80s teen slasher kind of situation. With the added sort of 21st century twist of, you know, in those movies, the sins that got you murdered by the slasher were pretty basic, you know, smoking, drinking, having sex, that sort of stuff. In 21st century cancel culture, that's elevated a little bit, and so we get hazing and bullying and an assorted other sorts of more now current. There's a young lady who gets it because she appeared spouting nonsense on a white supremacist podcast. Like, it's that kind of movie.
So she had it coming.
A lot of them do, honestly. And you've got a core group of young people, the sort of misfits, although they're all, of course, incredibly attractive because it's a movie. They have to deal with the realities of whether their deep, dark secrets will come out, and if their deep, dark secrets will lead to the mysterious killer mysteriously killing them, although the mystery of who the mysterious killer is becomes very clear about halfway through the movie, and you're just basically marking time to, all right, we know who it is. Just show me. Just take the mask off. Right. Show me who it is.
Right. Why don't the rest of them know this? We do.
All that being said, it was actually kind of fun. Like, I enjoyed it. Again, it had very much that sort of throwback sensibility. Very, very visceral. Very, very bloody in the way that, practical effects horror movies can be. With that sort of added twist of that sort of updated thematic kind of content. So, yeah, not a great movie, but I had a good time. So, yeah, there's Someone Inside Your House.
Ooh, all right. What else did you see?
This is actually, I didn't know a lot about this one going in. It's called South from Heaven. It's limited release in theaters. I think it's available for rental on Amazon Prime. But stars Jason Sudeikis. It's a movie that he made, I think, in the break between seasons of Ted Lasso. He stars as an ex-con. He just gets out of jail after serving 12 years for armed robbery. Gets out to spend time with his lady friend who has waited for him all these years, played by Evangeline Lilly. Turns out she's been diagnosed with lung cancer. She's got a year left to live. He wants to make sure she has the best year of her life. But obstacles arise. He's got a sketchy parole officer, played wonderfully by Shea Whigham, who's great in this kind of part. And an unfortunate accident puts him in the crosshairs of a local crime guy, landing in that soft-spoken sociopath trope, played by Mike Coulter, who's also very good. And it's basically one of those movies that's like three or four different movies, like pieces just kind of stitched together. Sometimes it works, other times it's a little iffy. But it's always nice to see an actor sort of push their envelope, try something a little bit different. And Sudeikis is really good here. Like, he really kind of subverts that kind of aw shucks energy that he brings. You see whiffs of Ted Lasso while you're watching the movie. There are some bits that almost veer into almost like sitcom banter territory, but then you also have some pretty serious, like, brutal moments. And it's a kind of a melange that works more than it doesn't, but it's a little confusing at times. Not necessarily a movie that you have to run out and try to see, but if it turns up on your, when you're flipping through the channels, if you're going through your streaming services and you're like, oh, that looks like it might capture my attention. It's a pretty decent little sort of neo-noir, like Texas Southern thriller.
All right. Sounds good. I will check that out. All right. Let's get to Daniel Craig as Bond, James Bond.
So first things first, I think Daniel Craig has been excellent in this part. And I think the sensibility that he has brought to the part has made the movies better. It's one of those things where, because if I remember correctly, in terms chronologically, as long as you don't count like the weird, like one movie return of Connery, like he's kind of the longest tenured Bond. Because he's been...
Wow, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know if he's... I don't think he's made as many movies as Connery. But in terms just of timeline, he's been Bond the longest. Hmm. And when someone inhabits a character for that long, you know, obviously their sensibilities are going to start becoming part of the process. And I think that was helped along considerably by Sam Mendes, who did the last two before this one, because I feel like he and Craig had a very strong understanding of one another, and they were very copacetic with regard to the direction in which they wanted the character to go. Because, you know, in Craig's hands, this, you know, Bond isn't like, you know, he's not a cartoon, and that's
right.
You know, and that's what the character has been. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. That was just the nature of the creation. Like, he's the super suave, super spy, who saves the world, gets the girl, and never deals with any consequences of his actions after the credits roll. Like, it's basically a franchise where every new movie is essentially a reboot. Like, you just start over. History doesn't really matter. And that changed with Craig when he climbed on board with Casino Royale. There are consequences, and there is carryover from movie to movie in these last, I think, five that just wasn't there before. And that allows you to build to a certain level of connection, and it lends some gravitas to the character, because time has never mattered to James Bond before Daniel Craig. Like, the rigors of age didn't matter to James Bond. They do now because, Craig insisted, I think, on allowing the character to develop in a more realistic way. And, realistic in scare quotes, because it's still a James Bond movie.
Sure.
But, he's a guy who he gets old and, like, his knee hurts, you know? Just, like, little things like that that go a long way towards humanizing a character that was, again, for a long time, essentially a caricature, you know, so much so that we got to see a number of movies come out specifically lampooning that character. So that brings us to No Time to Die, which is the fifth and final Daniel Craig Bond movie. By all accounts, they had to lobby pretty hard to get him to even agree to do this one. I imagine... and once you see the movie, I think you'll have an understanding. He clearly had some input with regard to making this movie into an exit for him as the character. I'm not going to try to explain the plot because, like all Bond movies, it's incredibly convoluted. This movie coming in at roughly 2 hours and 45 minutes, like wow. It is a long movie. There's plenty of room for that sort of, you know, James Bond convolution to sort of play out. But we don't go to James Bond movies for the plot. It doesn't really matter. Like, he's going to save the world from something. It's all about the character and the interactions that that character is having. And in that respect, it's pretty incredible. Like, all right, so I'll try to get to do the basics. But basically, we start essentially in the immediate aftermath of Spectre, which came out in 2016. Bond is sort of rambling through the Italian countryside with Madeleine Swann, played by Léa Seydoux. He's retired, and they're sort of going to begin their lives together. He's trying to achieve closure, so he goes to the tomb of Vesper Lynd, the woman who died in a previous film. Ambushed, he blames Madeleine, puts her on a train, sends her on her way. Boom. Now it's 5 years later. He's been living in isolation in Jamaica, he is enlisted by his old friend Felix from the CIA, played by Jeffrey Wright, as well as an attaché from the Secretary of State's office, played by Billy Magnuson, to track down a rogue scientist who has been kidnapped, who has developed something called Project Heracles, which involves nanobots in a way that is incredibly complicated and not worth really explaining in too much depth. Just suffice it to say, they can use it to target DNA, and so it's a very effective weapon. But, you know, they don't want Spectre to get their hands on it. You know, Spectre, even though Blofeld, Christoph Waltz, who is in this movie, is in prison, but he's still somehow maybe leading things or maybe not. We also have this other villain, I'm not going to pronounce his name right, but it's essentially Lucifer Satan. Like, that's basically what it is. Played by Rami Malek, who is wonderful. And so we get to watch Bond sort of try to track down this weapon and keep it from being unleashed on the world at large by whoever winds up getting hold of it. Because, again, there are a lot of evildoers in this movie. but, I mean, like, the, you know, a lot of the our favorites are back. Ralph Fiennes is back as M. Ben Whishaw, who I've always loved as Q, he's returned. Naomi Harris is Moneypenny, I want to make sure I get her name right, because we have a new 007, a woman named Nomi, played by Lashana Lynch, and she basically inherited the 007 designation from Bond when he retired. You know, when he comes back, there's some conflict there. She's very effective and happily, I will admit to having a little bit of concern. They did not do the obvious thing and have the two of them sort of make any sort of romantic connection, very right. Professional, viewing each other as peers and nothing more, which was, I mean, it's sad that that's a surprise, but, and again, I imagine Mr. Craig probably had something to say about that. But yeah, and so again, like I said, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes. A lot of stuff happens. And there are some fantastic Bondian set pieces, like the stuff you show up for, a couple of great car chases, like one through Italy and one through like the forests of Norway, like just these wonderful sort of things. Some fantastic like gunfight / hand-to-hand type sequences, including one. It's set in Cuba, and it's Bond and a CIA agent named Paloma, played by Ana de Armas, who's only in this one scene. Like, she just shows up for this one scene, absolutely crushes it, and then is gone, and we just don't see her again. But yeah, it's wonderful to see a movie like this sort of take the time to sort of meditate on, you know, the trauma that must happen to people who are engaged in this kind of high stakes, like constantly, like if I mess up, the world will end. Like, to have to deal with that sort of those sorts of pressures over and over again, the physical and emotional and mental toll that it must take, to have that addressed at all in a James Bond movie is really pretty great. You know, and as far as the performances, like, everybody's wonderful. Like, Craig really has done a wonderful job of making this character into him, his own. And he's wonderful to watch. And it's nice to have a chance to sort of say goodbye to him here. The rest of the supporting cast, I mentioned the folks, you know, Walt's just gnawing on the scenery. Like, man, doesn't that dude love playing this part? Like the finger steepling evil, like, if he had a mustache, he'd twirl it kind of guy. Just so good. Like, he's clearly having a blast. And Rami Malek, who, you know, I took some, you know, I took some shots at him during the whole run up to his Oscar run with Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff like that. He's a very talented actor, you know, all that other stuff aside. And it's wonderful for him to get an opportunity to play a Bond villain, particularly opposite Craig, because I feel like their approaches, as far as being actors, I think they're similar. And so I think there's a sort of, I don't know, a polarity there, a mirror image kind of thing between Bond and our friend Lucifer Satan that works really well. We don't necessarily get as much of the face-to-face sort of stuff that we usually do in Bond movies. I feel like most of the time you get two or three, like, head-to-head confrontations, whether they're physical or more often sort of battles of wits. We don't really get as much of that in this movie because, again, you know, despite the lengthy runtime, there's a lot of plot to get through, and so they really it's really pretty breakneck. But yeah, the performances are great. It's not fair to compare it to, because you know, it's probably the, I would say probably the, maybe the second or third best of Craig's Bond movies. Like, I'd put it right up there with Casino Royale. Skyfall is probably it's the best Bond movie, period, to my mind. So it's not gonna, it doesn't quite reach that level, but yeah, it's really great. I'm not gonna talk about how the farewell is bidden, but suffice it to say, they've done a really good job of giving him the sort of exit I think Daniel Craig wanted, and an exit that I think will prove satisfactory to longtime fans of him as the character and of the character in general.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Great. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
We'll maybe see you Wednesday.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it sounds with the weather like that. My wife is on vacation, so we might might try to get out of town a little bit.
I don't blame you. I think you should.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we'll get by. It won't be as good, but we'll get by.
I know, and we will, of course, miss you as well, but we'll make it work.
All right, either way, we'll see you soon. Thanks, Al.
Yes, sir.
Alan Adams, Main Edge, talking movies on Pass the Popcorn.